Hello, viewers. I'm Alexandra Lacotripis.
And I'm Sarah Bargman. Welcome to the Crime Times podcast, where every week we will discuss a topic to do with crime.
So basically, for this podcast, we will kind of just talk about anything and everything to do with crime. Sarah and I particularly have a passion about crime, and we're very interested in it. It's kind of something that we bonded over, so we decided to make a podcast. This week's topic, we're going to discuss missing people, just share some facts, share some stories, and how you can help. So in Canada, our RCMP reports that any given year, 70,000 to 80,000 people are reported missing. And the police say that they investigate 4,300 missing person cases every year. Now, some of this could be affected because of the pandemic, which the Canadian government did post an entire publication about that. We'll leave that linked. We'll leave some data visuals of the recent 2020 facts that they did have. I'll just share that below. And Sarah can kind of go into how she relates to missing people and kind of what inspired this week's topic.
So last year, my mother went missing for about a week, I would say. And since then, I just honestly, I've been really intrigued into missing people, missing people's cases. And I've really wanted to just like learn more about them and discover more. And there's so much that's still left to be discovered.
Now, in your case, luckily the person was found.
Yes.
Okay, good. I mean, luckily, it is known that a lot of the cases that we do have are usually solved, and they're usually runaways. But the next case I'm going to tell you, unfortunately, is not about a runaway. It looks to be a kidnapping. Michael Dunahy was a four-year-old boy who vanished from a playground in Victoria, BC in March 1991. Michael had gone missing at a flag football event where the police reported more than 50 adults and children were there, yet there was nobody that witnessed him going missing, and there's no crime scene. Last year, 2021, marked 30 years since his disappearance. At the moment, he would be around 34. Virtually every case of child abduction, the child is taken by a relative or a parent. Unfortunately, Michael is part of the 0.1% of children that go missing in Canada who are abducted by a stranger. Many of the original investigators are retired, but Detective Sergeant Michelle Robertson, head of the department's Victoria Historical Case Unit, is still on it. With no forensic evidence, the investigation had to go to detectives checking out tips from the public. There were over 11,000 tips right now logged into the portal. And lately, they've been racking up leads from a new 24-hour web form tip line, which we will link below, launched on the 30th anniversary of Michael's disappearance. They also made a new sketch of what Michael would look like now in his 30s, which will also be linked below. Any single time human remains are found, they actually always look for Michael's DNA first and always go to the public to verify if it is Michael or not. Because of no forensic evidence, the only time DNA has been able to be used is when people have actually stepped forward and claimed that they are Michael. But unfortunately, that has not yielded any results. Currently, there are three theories highlighted by Valerie Green in her book, Vanished, The Michael Dunahy Story. One theory is that Michael was taken and murdered by a sex offender. The second theory is that he was abducted and raised by a woman or a couple who couldn't have kids. And the final theory, and probably the most outlandish theory, was that he was killed in a ritual sacrifice. I mean, kind of nuts. We're hoping that that's not the case here. But the reason why that is even a theory to begin with is because around the time when Michael was taken, there was a satanic ritual abuse panic, which has been widely discredited, just to let you all know. As of right now, the case remains open. And if you do, or if anyone has ever seen him, has any sort of information on him, we will leave the tip down below and we have a picture linked. So what do you think, Sarah? It's a pretty sad case.
That is a very sad case. And if it wasn't for this, I would have not known about it.
Yeah, honestly. That's the other thing. Like, when you look it up, people say it's a historic event. It's very well known, but
never heard of it.
Yep, both of us never heard about it.
Now, really, until we researched it.
Exactly. So hopefully bringing this forward, you know, people listening can maybe look at this picture. And, you know, it happened in Canada. So hopefully, you know, wherever this reaches, somebody may have some new information. I'm sure it would bring his family a lot of peace. But it's rare. Another reason
why we have this podcast too.
Exactly. It's why we wanted to start it.
Do this exact thing.
Exactly. So any recent cases, Sarah, that we should maybe know about, look out for?
There is one by this Facebook group called Missing Persons Canada. They posted it yesterday. I really don't want to mispronounce this name. Alex, would you like to try? Barbara Bruyere?
I was thinking Bruyere, Bruyere. We'll link it with a picture. We'll spell out the name. Don't worry. Someone will help.
25. She was last seen by her family 200 blocks of Dufferin Avenue. She is indigenous, 5'4", heavy build, 181 pounds with long brown hair and brown eyes. What she was last seen wearing is not available, and she was believed to be homeless and she utilized shelters in the past.
So if any, again, we will have a picture linked, the Facebook linked, as well as the I'm not so sure exactly what you call it. The website that this was posted on, we will leave that as well for everybody to see. If you do have any tips or anything, you can contact the Winnipeg Police Service. We will leave the phone number down below.
Indeed.
Well, thanks so much for listening to our first podcast.
Our story was so short. There's a first time for everything.
That's true. We promise we'll get better.
One thing I've noticed that comes with missing people, although now that my mom is found and she was missing, and although I do find it like interesting to research, it's very hard to talk about still.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was something very minor, she went missing, but it wasn't for very long, and it wasn't, nothing very bad ended up happening. It was still very hard mentally, and I still really like sometimes don't feel like ready to talk about it.
Of course. I mean, when you boil down to it, minor or not, your mom went missing, and that is terrifying, and I couldn't even imagine what you were going through. And I remember when you were telling me it as it was happening, and I was so shocked because I was like, I don't know what to say. I guess when you're crime junkies like us, you hear about this all the time, right? You hear about these cases all the time, people going missing. And then when it happens in your case to you, or my case to someone who I care about, it becomes very personal and kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, do you agree that us kind of knowing all these cases, did you go to the worst case scenario a few times because you know about the worst case scenarios?
All the time. Every single time.
Yeah. I guess that's one of the downsides of being a crime junkie, is that we now know so many sad scenarios that can happen with people who go missing, which is why it's so important to have this podcast to make people aware and hopefully find these people.
Yep.
Whether they've wandered off or in the 0.1% that unfortunately Michael had to go through, where it's a complete stranger.
Exactly.
Okay. Anything else, Sarah, before we wrap this one up?
Let's talk about next week.
Yes, next week is so exciting.
So this episode was very short, but sweet, because next week will be very long and very fun.
100%. I don't know if any of you have heard about the Discovery Plus documentary, The Barbie and Ken Killers, The Undiscovered Tapes, but Barbie and Ken Killers, Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka are very close to home. It happened in Toronto, even closer to me, Scarborough.
I was going to say, this is the first part of this was more my experience, and this is more your experience because it's kind of your area.
Oh, it was scary to watch that documentary and hear Scarborough, Scarborough, Scarborough. You don't hear that a lot. Anyways, we'll save that more for next week. But we're going to talk about the documentary, you know, what it's uncovered, more about the case, and actually interview Paula Todd, a journalist who tracked down and interviewed Carla Homolka. She was in the same room as her. So we are going to speak to her and kind of get her experience with everything.
That will be a real treat.
I'm excited for that one. It's definitely going to be interesting and a lot for you guys to hear. So thanks, everyone. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sarah.
Thanks for listening to The Crime Times. And we will see you hopefully next week if our teachers don't strike.
Goodbye.
Bye.